Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yo, how we doing on this beautiful rainy Tuesday in New York City? Evan and Tiki on The Fan for the next 4.5 hours. There is plenty to discuss. The New York Giants are being treated nationally like the New York Jets. My confidence in Juan Soto coming to the Mets is shaking just a tad. We'll explain all of that as the show rolls on. I tried today to take my emotion out of being a Jet fan and just have an honest discussion about Aaron Rodgers and what the hell the Jets should do with him. Because I think last week, even on the bye week, it's still emotional. They're 3-8. They suck. I'm mad at the quarterback. I'm mad at the owner. I'm mad at everybody. But now, when you don't lose on a football Sunday, there's a chance to take a deep breath and just have an honest, less emotional conversation about what I would do with this said quarterback. But before I tell you what I would do, and Tiki would tell you what he would do, let's hear from the man himself. Because a lot's gone on over the last week. The general manager got fired. Reports came out that the owner wanted to bench Aaron Rodgers. Reports came out that Aaron Rodgers doesn't even want to be with the Jets anymore. And so Aaron Rodgers addressed his future with Pat McAfee. Let's take a listen.
As far as my future goes, I haven't told anybody in my life that I want to play in 2025 and not in the Jets. So that's 100% false. I actually said the opposite. You know, I said that I'm going to wait and see what happens at the end of the season, and if they want me back, and what happens with Brick, and what happens with the offensive staff, and obviously the GM at the time, and you know, then they just fired Joe. There's a lot of things out of my control when it comes to that. But I've really enjoyed my time in New York. I mean, obviously we haven't had success that we've all wanted to have, but you know, I've made some great friendships on the team. I've enjoyed living in Jersey. I've enjoyed time in the city. I've enjoyed getting to know the fans. And I came here to win here. So I'm not jumping off ship, you know, like, oh, I definitely want to play and not in New York. Like, I don't even know if I want to play yet.
Well, first of all, I want to say that Aaron Rodgers is at least not Max Scherzer. Let's start there. Because as soon as the Mets showed Max Scherzer that they weren't any good, they were starting to think about the future, Max Scherzer, like a rat, couldn't wait to leave. At least publicly, Aaron Rodgers has said, whether you choose to believe him or not, hey, I like it here.
Well, Max wanted to win a championship. That was his sole purpose, it felt like. And Steve Cohen was promising a championship in 5 years.
And Aaron Rodgers just wants to make friends.
Well, I mean, Max Scherzer jumped ship. Think about it. He jumped ship to go win a championship.
Right, right.
What did he do?
Right.
Now, he didn't contribute, but whatever. It doesn't matter.
Right.
He won a championship. I think, I don't know what Aaron Rodgers' objective is. I know he wants to win, obviously, but you had to know coming to the Jets, it wasn't just as easy as showing up and winning a championship. They weren't a player away. No team has ever, especially in football, you're never just a player away. And so I think it was a new experience that he was searching as well. I think he wanted to work with Nate again, who was his, one of his best friends. I think he wanted to see if he could like challenge himself to lift this Jet organization. I'm not saying independent, like sole single-handedly lift it, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Be a good leader. Galvanize these guys around you, play good football, and see what happens, and maybe we can win. I think that was what his goal was, and it's so not close to any of that.
No, it's failed.
It's kind of hard not to be or sound depressed.
He sounds depressed, but what he's done differently than all the other mercenaries that have come here is, at least if you believe what he said to Pat, he's not quitting.
Yeah. Four more years.
He's not giving up. You know, Kevin Durant couldn't wait to leave once he saw that the championship window was maybe not as open as he thought.
Yes.
Same with Max Scherzer. So I'm going to give Aaron Rodgers a little bit of credit and say, cool, bro, I appreciate you not quitting on us. Now, as far as what I want is concerned, I find it very unlikely that I am going to sit here next to you in April or March or February when the season is clearly over and the offseason has begun. I find it very hard to believe that I'm going to want that guy back. It is very likely that me and many Jet fans are going to say, you know what, Aaron? It was a failure. It didn't work. And you're gone.
What about right now?
Here's the thing about right now. And I want every Jet fan and Giant fan, because I think this relates to you guys as well, to understand this. I want the general manager of my football team,
who is currently nobody,
who I don't know who that person is. Or in your guys' case, when you hired Joe Shane 3 years ago, I assume you wanted what I'm about to say. You want your general manager to make the decision about their football team. I may disagree with the general manager. I may scream on the radio, I want this guy. I don't want that guy. I'm a fan. That's my right. But what I don't want is the owner or anyone else to make a decision before the general manager is even hired.
Right.
So whether that new GM is Mike Tannenbaum, please know, or Jeff Ireland, please know, or maybe one of the young emerging candidates from successful organizations like Kansas City or Detroit, I want that person to make the decision. And I want Aaron Rodgers to be on the menu so that if that new GM comes in and envisions a scenario where, you know what, I'll bring him back for a year. I'll run it back with Aaron Rodgers. Now, I have grandiose plans. I'm drafting a quarterback. I'm bringing this young guy in. Whatever his plan is, I want to give that new GM that option. So the idea that was spread out over the weekend of they're going to cut Aaron Rodgers, why?
Yeah, well, I think that's a lot of that is just noise to create reaction. And part of it was the whole Aaron Rodgers wants to play, just not with the Jets.
Which, according to him, is not true.
Which he dispelled. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's being put out from, I don't know, from the Jets side. Like, just create a reaction. Make Aaron Rodgers respond so that it gives us a reason to want to move on from him. Now, again, he debunked it, which is good for him. Because the last thing you want, even if it's true, is to have that be the conversation in the locker room.
Right.
There's still six games to play.
And they still have a mathematical shot of making the playoffs.
We're not even talking about that, but right. Whatever. But in theory, you're right. There is a chance for them to make the postseason. But I think it's less about that and more just you want to go play winning football. You want to win games, even if it doesn't mean anything necessarily, because it's a pride thing. It's the one thing why when we talk about tanking in football, it's so hard to do because – You're going to tell me if I'm competing, say, against Sean, yep, Sean's just better than me. I have no shot. I'm not going to. There's no football player ever does that.
Right.
Even if I know Sean's better than me, I'm going to think I'm better than him. And that's how every athlete plays most of the games that they go into. Now, if it gets to a point where you're down 30-7 like the Giants were, maybe you're not holding the sword as tight. But I think going into every week, it is – I want to win, I want the best players around me, and I want my leaders to be leaders. And I think that's what Aaron Rodgers is going to do for the rest of this season. At least I hope that's what he does for the rest of this season.
And what I want the Jets to do, and maybe they've already done this, is to just be honest. I had a situation over the weekend. I can't really get into the details. They're very personal. But I was very honest with my wife in a situation in which in the moment I said, I don't want to be honest with her. I want to lie to her. But I said, you know what, Evan? I think this situation will be handled better if you just admit what you did. And I did. And it all worked out well. The New York Jets, and right now their representative is really Woody Johnson, which is a damn shame because I don't trust him very much. Woody Johnson needs to sit down with Aaron Rodgers and tell him the truth. And here's the truth. This is my truth. And this is what the Jet truth should be. Aaron, we don't know what our plans for next year are. Is there a scenario in which we are probably going to move on from you? Yes, there is. And we'll release you. We'll make it combatible.
Right.
We're not going to make you look bad. We're not going to leak bad things about you. But there is a chance, because we are going to hire a new general manager, that new GM is going to want to do his own thing.
Right, general manager and head coach.
And head coach. But Aaron, there's also the possibility that the guys we bring in prefer to have you back. Now, you don't have to come back. You have every right as a future Hall of Famer, as a 41-year-old man, to say, you know what, guys, I don't want to do this. And if that's the case, cool, we'll release you. But we don't know. And because we don't know, we're not releasing you today. We're not allowing you to go wherever you want tomorrow because there's a possibility this can work for both of us in 2025. That's what you tell them. Because God honest, that's the truth. And for any Jet fan out there that was like me a week ago, because a week ago, I wanted this guy gone. F this guy. He's been a failure here. There's always a distraction. He's 40 years old. I'm done. Yeah, that's the emotion after my team loses. That's the emotion after the team and the season looks completely dead. But when you start to think about the business and you start to think about, well, they're going to hire a new GM. I have no idea what that new GM is going to want to do. Why not give as many options as humanly possible to the new general manager?
Right.
And that includes the possibility that Aaron Rodgers returns for a 21st NFL season.
Four more years?
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing that we're not even considering yet is maybe he actually does get a little bit healthier. Right? This was a rushed rehab a year ago. And I know it's been a while, and obviously it's been over a year since the Achilles injury, but he doesn't look healthy this year.
Mm.
It doesn't look like he's moving around like he is not still suffering from some kind of, I don't know, atrophy of a muscle or confidence in his strength and his lower body. So perhaps another year and he looks healthier. I'm not saying he's going to be because he's going to be 41, but maybe he looks healthier, and that's the difference. The thing that we've noticed for a lot of these games is he is grossly inaccurate at times.
Yes.
I mean,
throwing behind Garrett Wilson, we've seen it a lot.
Un-Aaron Rodgers-like.
Yes.
It was the one thing you could always count on, and it would look unorthodox. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Your mechanics are all over the place. The ball would be where it needed to be. It hasn't been that way this year, and so it's just another, like, I don't know, checkoff point that might actually mean he's okay for a year from now. Again, if I'm a new coach and I'm coming in, there's no chance I would want Aaron Rodgers on this team.
Really?
I'd want to move on.
Really?
I'd want to put it all behind us. I'd want to find a way to cleanse the air of that expectation. Because the problem is with Aaron here, there's still going to be an expectation that you're supposed to win. And so the reality is the Jets need not a rebuild, because there's too much talent, but they need a reset of that expectation. And if Aaron's there, the expectation is necessarily going to be high.
Yeah, but I can't worry about that.
Of course you can.
The outside noise doesn't matter.
This is a conversation. But I think the inside noise is what
that because Aaron's there, the inside expectation 100%. Is going to be higher than maybe the reality.
Think about the things that we saw on Hard Knocks. And again, this was 2 years ago. This was before last season. But Jeff Obrecht, now the interim head coach, talking like glowingly about Aaron Rodgers, how he could do everything. That's our guy. We got that guy. And that's just from practice tape.
Right.
It's not even watching like games. That's just watching what he was doing in practice and an internal scout. And so I think that's going to be there simply because of who he is.
You're right, but here's where, because I'm trying to figure out how I could get to the place where the new head coach and the new general manager convince me, hey, we're going to run it back with Aaron Rodgers. Mm. And one of the ways they can do that is Tyrod Taylor's under contract next year. And I like Tyrod Taylor. I've always been a fan of Tyrod Taylor, but he's Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean, he is what he is. If the Jets' plan for next year is for Tyrod Taylor to be a bridge quarterback to whomever they draft a year later, or they believe in Jordan Travis and they want him to sit for another year, then if Aaron Rodgers was good with being bridge guy, you can sell me why Aaron Rodgers is a better option as the bridge than Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers would be ever willing to do that. I listened to his answer, the clip we just played, and he talks about loving it here. What I heard, and tell me if I'm wrong here, is a guy that's not saying he loves it here because of football. He loves it here because, even though a lot of people don't like to admit it anymore, I'll say it loudly and I'll say it proudly, New York, New Jersey, the tri-state area, it's the best place in America. Mm. And I'm so sick and tired of everybody running our area down for whatever reason. It's the best. It's the best for a myriad of reasons. And maybe Aaron Rodgers, a California kid who was stuck in Wisconsin for 2 decades, maybe he realizes what I've realized my entire life. What you realized when you walked in here as a 21-year-old kid. This place kicks ass. Maybe he likes the malls of New Jersey. Maybe he likes the fact that people pump his own gas in the state of New Jersey. Maybe he likes the Broadway shows we offer in New York City.
Which he went to.
Which he did. And by the way, I'm not being sarcastic. I love this area. I love this city. We're not perfect. It's okay to rip it. But at the end of the day, I'd rather live here than anywhere else. And it's possible. And that may not be the reason you guys care about, because you want to hear Aaron Rodgers say Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. But maybe the reason he would want to stay and the reason why he's talked glowingly about New York, New Jersey is because he just likes it here. May not have anything to do with the football. And if that's his priority as a 41-year-old and he'd be willing to be that humbled bridge quarterback, then yeah. I'd be open to it.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's tons of things he can do here as well as play football. Real estate investments, other investments. There's opportunity in New York. If you're good enough and you're aware enough or you're, I don't know, smart enough to take advantage of it, there is a lot to take advantage of here.
And he can, but there are going to be two rules if Aaron Rodgers comes back. And I'd like to quote someone that I'm sure you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. I know Lugie's familiar with. He's now a famous actor, but at one point he was a poet. And that man's name is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. If you want to stay here, you're going to know your role and you're going to shut your mouth.
Candy asses.
You know what I mean?
Got to throw the candy
and throw candy asses in there.
Right.
I guess I could. You Rudy Pooh. But know your role, which is a different role, not being the hero,
right,
not being Aaron Rodgers, but maybe being the bridge to the future. And the shut your mouth thing is probably more, if you're just the bridge quarterback, we don't need to hear from you every single week. Now, I don't know if we can accomplish that second part, but that's how you could sell me on it. The one thing I know for sure on November 26th, is I'm not ready to cut him. I'm not ready to release him. I'm not ready to stick him on IR. Stick him on IR for what? To play Tyrod Taylor? If the Jets had a young quarterback they wanted to evaluate the way the Giants are with Tommy DeVito, then sure. If Jordan Travis was ready to play, then this is a completely different discussion. But as long as he's not, then really? You're going to take away that option from the next general manager?
Right. You play the player that gives you the best chance to win. Currently, that's Aaron Rodgers. And honestly, I think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers until Aaron Rodgers decides he wants to retire. That's just the reality of who Aaron Rodgers has been his entire career. And he's got a wealth of experience and knowledge, and he's learning how to play differently, obviously. But I also don't think that you can just quit right now with six games to go.
No, I don't think it makes any sense. I don't think it makes sense for us. I don't think it makes sense for them. So hopefully, my fellow Jet fan, it's been how many days since we lost a football game? It's been about 10 days. Mm-hmm. That's a good run. It's a lot of time.
A lot of time not to be negative.
That's right.
Same old Jets.
It clears your head, and it doesn't allow you to be positive, because nothing I'm saying is positive. It allows you to be rational. It allows you to take the emotion and the anger we have off of a 3-8 start and actually make what I think is fair, reasonable football opinions. But what do you want, Jet fans? Do you want to actually kind of taste the idea of Aaron Rodgers coming back next year? Do you want to cut him right now to send some kind of message, the message they sent to Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas? Or do you want to actually allow your next general manager to make his own damn decision? And keep this in mind, and you should listen to everything. And Tiki, I know your ears are wide open. Aaron Rodgers loves this area. He loves New Jersey.
Stop it.
He loves the area.
So as
just saying, bro,
I know what you mean.
I'll leave it at that.
As still a part owner of the Bucks, he's going to facilitate a trade for Giannis to Brooklyn.
Coming up at about 2:45, some quick thoughts on the game last night. I don't mean the Ranger game, Islander game, Devil game, nickname, or neck game. I mean that Raven Charger game, the poor Quentin Johnston game. And also the decision John Harbaugh made early fourth quarter that is so new age. And I'm curious to get Tiki's perspective on it. But for the Jet fans, Aaron Rodgers spoke, and he still loves us. He still wants to be a New York Jet. But do we want him? All I want from my franchise, and this is beyond Aaron Rodgers, is I want to be a functioning franchise. And I want the general manager, whoever Woody Johnson hires, even if I hate the person, not personally, of course, sports-wise, even if I don't trust the person, we as sports fans can scream and yell about the people we want and don't want. Once they're hired, we got no other choice but to wrap our legs around them and hope they're right. That's our only option. So I just want that general manager to have as many tools in the toolbox when he takes this job. And Aaron Rodgers is a tool. I didn't even mean to do that. Aaron Rodgers is like a hammer, or maybe he's a nail, Or maybe he's, I can't really name more than two tools, so you have to help me out on this.
A drill?
A wrench.
A screwdriver?
Yeah. Yes. One of those.
And hacksaw. Pair of pliers.
Look at you. You guys are so handy. I've done nothing. I try to be handy, and then my wife yells at me. But I want that general manager to be able to make any decision he wants with as many options, including the Aaron Rodgers option. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Frank's in Jersey. How are you, Frank?
Going on, Evan and Teak. Love the show.
Appreciate it.
Wanted to chime in a little bit on the Aaron Rodgers debate. Me and my friends have been having this all week and for the past few weeks, and I just don't understand how anybody can have the mindset that you don't want Aaron Rodgers back. Of course, I want the GM to make that decision, but we all wanted Aaron Rodgers. We bought the book by Ian O'Connor. We bought the jerseys. We sent the hype videos, and now all of a sudden we lose, and we just want him to go away and retire. Like, I don't understand that mindset. You might as well go be a Detroit Pistons fan and want to lose for the rest of your life, because he is going to make this team the most competitive, and I don't understand what other route you would want to go.
Can I give you a rookie? Let me argue with you then, all right? Let me argue your friend's perspective. Yeah. If this team continues to lose and Aaron Rodgers continues to look inconsistent, or dare I say starts to even look worse, why would you want him back if you're starting to evaluate that maybe he doesn't have anything left?
That's one perspective. I just, like, so far, obviously we got to see how it plays out. I don't agree with it. I mean, I don't think he's the main problem of this team. I think, and plus, if you want to go get a rookie quarterback, who better to learn from? I know he's not that kind of guy, like, so the media likes to spin, but I think he would be a nice veteran quarterback.
Well, okay. If he's willing to do that, if he's willing to be that bridge and not be bitter about the Jets using a top five pick on a quarterback, and he says all the right things, I would consider it. But the other thing you got to keep in mind is you said he's not the number one problem. Okay, he's not the number one problem, but he's a part of the problem. And if you took every quarterback in the NFL and you ranked them, where's Aaron Rodgers right now? Where is he?
I mean, he's maybe 20. Maybe.
Maybe. Well, doesn't that tell you everything?
Yeah.
If we're talking about a maybe 20 guy at 40 years old, he may be maybe 20 at 41 years old. That's not the guy you were describing at the beginning of your phone call where we were all buying the jerseys and getting the Ian O'Connor book.
Well, I think also, if you're going to use Aaron Rodgers as this bridge quarterback, I don't think it's not like the Giants used Kurt Warner when they brought him in simply to hold the spot until they felt like Eli was ready. I think what Aaron Rodgers as a bridge quarterback for this, whatever the next iteration of the Jets team looks like, and coaching, general manager, everything else, is you're there to win. You're there to help this new coach win right away. And by extension, whoever they draft or whoever they bring in as that young developmental future quarterback is gonna learn. Not dissimilar to how Jordan Love sat and learned. I don't think Aaron Rodgers was going out of his way to, all right, kid, let me show you how we go about breaking down whatever film and your process. I don't think he was doing any of that. I think he was just being himself, and Jordan was watching, right? And he picked up some of those good habits, picked up some of the bad ones too. But I think ultimately Aaron Rodgers as a mentor is not mentoring. He's just kind of being himself.
Right.
Right. That's how I see it happening. And I don't think there's a better player to do that other than him, because it helps you win. You're not going through the growing pains of a young quarterback.
Well,
losing.
You hit on the second possibility. What if the new general manager and head coach prefers to lose in the first year? And eyes arch, man.
Yeah, but how do you do that? So it's so hard to...
You don't start the better quarterback. You actually move on from the better quarterback.
Think about that, though. Because whatever your record becomes, you're saddled with it.
No, I get you.
It sticks. It doesn't leave you.
Right.
Right. It's what you are and how people will evaluate you, fair or not.
But
they won't look at the circumstances.
Okay, but do you think?
Think about what we did with Spags yesterday.
No, you're right. Called. But do you think a new general manager, when he takes this job, would say, hey, my plan is to bottom out in turning this franchise around? You don't think there is a GM who would consider that his best option? And if that's the case, then isn't that exactly what I'm saying?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if this wasn't just to take our team. I don't know if this was not the Giants' plan, right? We don't have a good enough roster. We know this. I mean, Joe Shane told me as such. We're not good enough right now. There are going to be some games we're going to be in because Dave's is going to coach them up, and they're going to play hard. They're going to be tight games. There's other games we're going to get our asses kicked. This is basically what the expectation was. They outperformed their own expectation because they got a contract year performance from Daniel Jones. So even if it is your plan, you inadvertently could be good.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
No, I see that happening right now in basketball.
Right.
The team I'm rooting for is trying to quote-unquote lose, and they're coming back from 18 down against the Warriors.
Y'all are about to be 500.
I know. Ken is calling from Wilton, Connecticut. How are you, Ken?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. What's up?
Excellent. All right, so I agree with Tiki. I disagree totally with Evan on this. I think that Rodgers is a guy who is in the twilight of his career, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
He's given us 3 wins in 2 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you're managing this business, this team, you got to say to yourself, where is this guy going to be? What's he going to go? He's going to get 9 wins next year? I don't think so. The defense was the best it was last year. His year to win was last year.
I know, right.
You're right about that, and that sucks to look back on. When you look at the way the defense was playing last year as compared to the way it's been playing this year, and it's weird. Their stats, their overall numbers are actually very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch the two defenses, you see the big difference.
Yeah.
That would have been the year. The Jets won 7 games with some of the worst quarterback play in the history of football. They won 7 games with some of the worst red zone percentages in the history of football. They won 7 games with some of the worst third down completion percentages in the history of football. Even if you had this version of Aaron Rodgers on last year's team, they accidentally win 10 games.
I know. You're right. But unfortunately, it's turned into a cluster.
It has. You want to use that last word?
Nope.
Because I do sometimes.
Everybody knows it.
Mike's in Oceanside. How are you, Mike?
What up?
What's going on, guys? How you doing today?
Good.
What's up?
Good. I don't think we should cut Aaron Rodgers. It would just further the embarrassment of this organization of just firing and cutting people. But whoever the new general manager coming in is has his work cut out for him. Not just the quarterback. We got 30 contracts coming up at the end of the year. And the majority of our talent's going to be up in 2025, 26. So what are we doing here?
That's the real question that you need to get answered from all these GM candidates. The Jets could go about this in a few different ways. One route would be, we got a pretty good roster. We got a lot of talent on this team. I like Sauce Gardner. He'll bounce back. I like Quinnen Williams. He signed long-term. I love Garrett Wilson. I love Breece Hall. I love Braylon Allen. I even like some parts of this offensive line. Like, you can see how a general manager would take over this team and say, we're not that far off. But you bring up the money aspect of it. You have to pay Sauce Gardner soon. You're already paying Quinnen Williams. You have to pay Garrett Wilson. Would a new general manager... And this would be painful. I'll be the first to tell you this, especially as a season ticket holder. Does a new GM come in and say, yeah, I'm going to take some of that talent. I'm going to trade it away. I'm going to trade it away because we need to reset the clock on this roster. We can't pay $100 million to a cornerback. We can't do it. We can't pay top money for a wide receiver in Garrett Wilson. We can't do it. And so it's up to Woody Johnson, and this is why I have no trust, because I don't trust Woody Johnson, to hear the different visions that these candidates have. And find out which guy do you trust the most. Look, as a diehard fan, I think most of us kind of like the idea of trying to reorder this thing and win immediately because they have a lot of talent on their roster. Who wants to sit through another rebuild? It feels like we've been sitting through a rebuild for 50 years. Now we got to do another rebuild? But I think those are two avenues that a new general manager could go down. Hitting the reset button on this roster. Or saying, hey, this roster is pretty good. If I make a couple of moves here and there and I hire the right head coach, we can win.
Yeah, but you have to get the quarterback of the future on the roster. That's the challenge.
And you know what else you need? And I really think this has held the team back, with all due respect to Robert Saleh. I think they needed better coaching. I wonder about the last 4 years. I do. I wonder about the roster over the last 3 years. And I say to myself, if they had good coaching, if they had, you know what? I'm going to make you guys feel good.
All right.
I'm going to put you guys over. They had Brian Daboll for the last 3 years. What would have happened with the Jets?
Mm.
It's a fair question. What would have happened If the defense was performing well, you hire the right guy. Maybe him and Wink stay together and they get along. And you have Brian Daboll nurturing Zach Wilson.
I was going to say, honestly, Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be here.
Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be here, but maybe you would have gotten better performances out of Zach the last 2 years to where the seven-win seasons would have been nine-win seasons.
Last year, they won seven with Daboll. They could have won nine games.
Without a doubt. Without maybe 10. Who knows? And that's not Aaron Rodgers. That's with Zach Wilson. So it's funny you bring this up because I have the Tennessee Titans this week. The Tennessee Titans versus the Washington Commanders, which it'll be an interesting game. The Tennessee Titans aren't good, but my point is Will Levis has started to play a lot better football. Now, he made some boneheaded mistakes earlier in the season. Remember the Chicago interception, the lateral they tried against the Jets, like all this stupid stuff that he was doing. But the articles that I'm reading and researching this game, it's about how he's making these strides. And the reason that they're pointing to is that he has an offensive head coach right now.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian Callahan is his head coach / offensive coordinator, even though he's not technically their offensive coordinator. And it makes me think about the Jets, knowing they were going to draft a quarterback because they needed one. They needed a new face of the franchise. Yet you had a defensive head coach. And the formula is tried and true. If you have a quarterback that you're bringing in and you need him to grow and be nurtured, there's got to be a lot of offensive push, right? It's got to be coordinator, quarterback coach, pass game coordinator, head coach. Like, everybody's got to be all in on that. Otherwise, the priority gets lost.
Right.
Like, the priority of developing the quarterback gets lost when you have a defensive head coach, because the defensive head coach just necessarily is going to gravitate towards the defense being the priority.
Yep.
Now, the Jets had a great defense, but they never could figure out offensively. And so, I wonder, to your hypothetical, what would have been the difference if Brian Daboll was the head coach, as an offensive-minded head coach who cares about the development of the quarterback, who cares about the progression of the offense? The defense, honestly, could take care of itself.
Right.
Or if you have the right coordinator and the right scheme.
Or even if it is a defensive-minded head coach, bringing in the right offensive coordinator, which the Jets missed out on. Now, to go back to 2021, when they parted ways with Adam Gase and they hired Robert Saleh, there were a few other guys that got interviews. Now, I don't think Brian Daboll ever got an interview.
He wasn't on that level yet.
Yeah,
I don't think Josh hadn't peaked as a MVP candidate.
You know what? I just found Daboll had one interview with the Jets. He was not invited back for a second interview.
Got it.
So they talked to him, but it never got serious.
Right.
The guys that had second interviews were Arthur Smith. How would that have worked out?
Arthur's interesting. He didn't have the roster to do what he wants to do.
Right.
He likes this interchangeable, positionless type football, which in theory works. And if you have the right talent, you can do it. But I don't think they had the personnel.
The other guy was Eric Bieniemy, who would always get interviews but has not gotten that big job.
I think we saw when Eric Bieniemy had full power of an offensive system in Washington a year ago, he became so pass happy, he compromised his quarterback.
Right.
Sam Howell had no chance because they dropped back to throw the ball 75% of the time.
Mm.
So he had no protection.
Sonny is calling from Malvern. How you doing, Sonny?
Hey, guys. Doing well. I was trying to call about the Giants the last couple days, but I guess I'll talk about the Jets.
you feel like you got relegated. You could talk about the Giants, too. We will not hold you to just having to talk about the lousy Jets, Sonny. Trust me.
Yeah, thank you. When Tom Brady walked into that building in Tampa Bay, he changed everything about that building. Every single person that worked in that building level went up, from a player to a coach to the ball boy, everybody. And it was 100% about football. Aaron Rodgers, it just seems like there's just so much other stuff that comes along with him. He loves the limelight. He loves to be talked about. And the only thing, guys, that's going to change from this year to next year, he's going to be a year older, and that's it. So I think they should cut ties with him.
Yeah.
Start new. You're going to have a new GM, a new coach. Why not start with a new, fresh quarterback? Let them pick the quarterback.
Isn't
that what we always say? Sonny,
it's a good point you're making, but it's a hard comparison to actually throw apples to apples, too. Let's also not forget that the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was a two-time coach of the year in Bruce Arians, who it was one of the best unsung head coaches in the NFL for a decade or so. Nobody talked about him because he mostly was in Arizona on the West Coast. He was in, where was he? Where did he do his interim?
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. He was the interim there.
Offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh.
Right. And so, like, you just didn't know enough to know that he was as good as he was. But he was also no nonsense.
Right.
So, Tom Brady has a no nonsense, it's all about winning, it's all about winning, paired with a head coach who had tons of success, Super Bowl rings as a coordinator. And obviously, he won one with Tampa as a coordinator. Like, it was a perfect match.
Right.
Whereas Aaron Rodgers comes to the Jets, and you basically have a under fire, first time defensive minded head coach who might be good at, you know, rah rahing, but like we don't know how he is.
He was
as a head coach.
An unproven commodity,
right? It's, yeah. It's just, and then he gets hurt.
Yeah.
So it's just a different scenario. Everything was perfectly lined up. I mean, I rarely say that the team is a quarterback away. The Buccaneers, that Buccaneer was basically a quarterback away.
The problem with the Jets is the Jets were two things away, in my opinion. They were a quarterback away, and they were a good coaching staff mm-hmm. away.
Yes.
This was an unknown commodity, and ultimately, it failed. They're all gone. Well, really, the head guy is gone, and the defensive coordinator has shown us early he can't be a head coach.
Yeah.
They did not have the right coaching staff in place. So what I want, and I hope Woody could pull this off, is to actually get the right coaches. Mm. And if the right coaches can sell us as fans on running it back for one more year with Aaron Rodgers, you can probably get us on board. But I want them to have the option to actually do what they want.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the Jets right now. It didn't feel like over the last year, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh could do what they want. Now, ultimately, they turned out to be the wrong guys. They were giving them plenty of years, and it didn't work. And looking back on things, Woody should have made the move during the offseason. He should have given it a try with a brand new head coach, probably one with experience, coming into this season. The other thing that I don't know the answer to, and maybe you can get the answer by sniffing around league circles, is this job more appealing with Aaron Rodgers here? Or does it look like an anchor to a prospective head coach?
It's a good question. It's a very good question. I think it depends on what happens in the draft. And if they get the quarterback that they want.
Yeah, but you can't hire a head coach after that. It would be where you're selecting, sure. Like, the Jets are picking fifth or wherever.
Which is why it's hard. It's a hard dance. It's got to happen. Because the other thing you also can't do is allow Aaron Rodgers to be involved in that.
No! No, Aaron Rodgers gets to stay on the side right now.
Yes.
And whoever the new GM and head coach are, they get to decide what to do. I'm just curious if someone would say, boy, like, take Ben Johnson. We all assume Ben Johnson has no interest in the Jet job. He is, of course, the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, one of the hottest young coaching candidates. Hypothetically, is Ben Johnson saying to his wife, I assume he's married, hon, if I got my hands on Aaron Rodgers, oh my God, I may go to New York.
Well,
I may take the job.
Well, you're joking, but because he knows what he's asking him to do, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why you don't get rid of him. Because what if one of these great coaches that we think great coaches, Ben has not proven anything in fairness, or even Mike Vrabel, what if one of the guys that would be a dream hire actually envisions this working with Aaron Rodgers? That's how you can convince us as Jet fans. Mike Vrabel walks through the door and says, I want Aaron Rodgers to be my quarterback. I think we'd all be like, all right, I don't know if I agree with you, but you're coach Mike Vrabel.
Right.
We're going to trust you that that's going to work. We'll get back to your calls in a second, but last night, the Ravens beat the Chargers 30-23. And I'm very curious, because as this was happening, I was thinking about you, and I was thinking about all the football fans that say, I hate sabermetrics, I hate stats, I hate the nerds. The Ravens score a touchdown. Lamar Jackson throws that short pass to Mark Andrews, and the Baltimore Ravens take a 7-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
They were up by 6 at the time. They score a touchdown. They were up by 7 points. There's about 12 and a half minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So there's your perspective on time. Ravens are up by 7. They have an option. Justin Tucker comes out, hits an extra point. It's an 8-point game against Justin Herbert and the Chargers with, again, about 12 minutes to go in the game. Or you go for 2. And if you succeed in going for 2, mm-hmm. it's a 2-possession game. We had this discussion with the Jets about a week ago. They decide to go for 2. Lamar Jackson throws an incomplete pass to Zay Flowers, and it remains a 7-point game. Now, this all gets forgotten about because Justin Herbert and the Chargers offense, a surprise to nobody, especially me and you, Teague, basically turns into a toad in the fourth quarter of this game.
Right.
They do nothing. So we all forget about this decision. Do you like the new age strategy of going for two up seven to make it a two-possession game as the Ravens tried and ultimately failed on?
Yes, I do, but there was so much time left in the game at that point because that happened with 12 and a half minutes to go in the game. So I get, you score a touchdown, it makes the game 23-16, and then you're like, what do? You still have to me, make it an 8-point game rather than a 9-point game because they're going to have enough possessions. Like, it's not ending the game, right? If they have one possession left, it can end the game.
Right.
But there's multiple possessions that are going to be left. So even if you make it, they can still score a touchdown and kick a field goal and beat you.
But right? You're making them have to come and drive against you twice.
Yes, but
so you're right. There's enough time to do it.
But they're going to have multiple possessions.
But I'm getting the ball back in the meantime. That's the other thing I like.
Whatever. You have to assume that you're going to go three and out.
Whatever. That's not, you don't care about that?
You have to assume you're going to go three and out. My point is, if this happens with 4 minutes to go, and so the Chargers maybe are going to have one possession or two possessions left, most likely just one, and likely have to go for an onside kick, make it a 9-point game. But with the likelihood of having three possessions in the fourth quarter, it's just unnecessary to me. Kick the extra point, make it an 8-point game, and force them to go for two. Like, put the pressure of the 2-point conversion on them as opposed to labeling on you when they're going to have enough possessions to make up a 2-score differential. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. It was too much time left. If there was 4 minutes left, 100%, because you're forcing them to fully maximize every possession, or at least their one possession that we know that they have left. With three possessions or so left, I don't love that. It's too much pressure.
I was saying, even if you love it, I think the bigger issue is you have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. What the hell is that play call going for?
Well, that's different. That is the
problem.
Yeah.
If you're going to commit and go for it, you have seemingly what has been all year, and they've basically picked their spots at Derrick Henry, an unguardable twosome in the backfield, and they used none of that ability on a 2-point try.
Right. I do like that they moved the pocket. That was one thing, but Derrick Henry was not being, he wasn't used.
Right.
I know you guys will take this as an insult. I do not mean it as an insult. I'm just going to give you a fact because I was watching the game last night. Yeah. Like we all were.
The problem is I think they thought they were going to get man, and they got cover four. So they're just kind of sitting there.
Mm.
And in a tight red area, the team plays cover. There's nowhere to go with the football.
Right. Derrick Henry had another monster game, yes. And this is yet another example that the teams that Saquon Barkley went to, pretty good fit, mm-hmm. Derrick Henry goes to, the Baltimore Ravens, and even what's happened with Josh Jacobs, the three quote-unquote elite running backs
left their teams.
If
you count Joe Mixon.
No, you're right. You could include Joe Mixon, too, on that one.
But they're different.
Yeah. I wouldn't. Those are like the big three to me, but you're right about Mixon. Those three guys go to teams, and they're a combined 24-9. And the teams that those guys left, and their records are not all because those guys left, but it's an interesting case study, are 7-26.
No, it's an example of a team needing a running back that's a difference maker.
Right. And all those teams that we mentioned, when you look at the Baltimore Ravens and the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers, they were close.
Yeah.
And the three teams that they left, we're not.
No.
I mean, the Giants, the Titans, and the Raiders. Like, right. Those three teams, the Giants, Titans, and Raiders, kept those said running backs who were having monster years. What difference would it make?
It would not have made any difference. It's what I said about Saquon Barkley, and I would say the exact same thing about Derrick Henry and the same thing about Josh Jacobs. They're in better spots. They're in better places with better quarterbacks and better skill position players.
Absolutely. We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. Aaron Rodgers' future. He still says he loves it here.